Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, and thanks as always for having me.
Tim, the markets are holding up, but where are they going from here?
Well, the big giant setup just continues. This thing goes on and on and on. But you're right, we're treading water. If you look at a chart, we've gone absolutely nowhere on the industrials in months. We are, in fact, I'm trying to get my computer to cooperate with me. We are at the same level we were, I'm drawing a rough line, in early 22. So, you know, we're a year and a half and we've just been treading water. In the grand scheme of things, though, I think this is all part of the big setup of in the sixth economic, the turning of the sixth economic cycle. More recently, we had an intermediate term low in March, and we now have an intermediate degree low due, and I think we're trying to set up with an intermediate term cycle top as we speak. And that intermediate term cycle top will give the market a toehold for this thing to try to turn again. You have to have a cyclical, top as a pivot point for a possible higher degree top to set up and take hold. And that's where we are. Depending on what happens with this intermediate term top, it's an opportunity to maybe turn things. And if that doesn't take hold, then I think the process continues as this, larger degree turning continues to set up for that turn.
Now, you were taking a look at some of the charts and what they were indicating. Is the bubble that we've been talking about for years bigger than we thought it was?
It's bigger than I realized that it was. And, you know, I've been covering this. We talked about it a little bit before we came on the air. But, yes, I mean, this is going back to 1800, there have been six long-term economic cycles that I've identified. I've been covering this in the research letters for subscribers for the last couple of months and laying this out. And, you know, I did not realize, as time goes, you discover new things in your research, but this entire sixth economic cycle was born out of the 2002 low, and this entire sixth economic cycle has been on the back of the monetary policy that began coming out of that 2002 low to so-called bridge the gap, if everybody remembers that term, and it has escalated. We saw QE, and we've seen all these so-called stimulus packages, spending, the explosion of debt. And it's all part of the creation of this bubble and, in this case, the sixth economic cycle, which is now trying to turn again. And so we remain, in a juncture where this sixth economic cycle can bite. That's what we've been doing this last year and a half as we've treaded water. It's trying to bite. And are we there yet? Well, obviously not. We're still treading water. But in looking at this and understanding that it is a downturn of one of these longer-term cycles and understanding the foundation that this sixth cycle has been built on, and that is Fed policy rather than a sound, underlying, growing, thriving economy, it makes it all the more concerning. Absolutely.
Does the U.S. have a really sound economy? They talk about 300,000, 400,000 jobs being created, but are what we call real jobs being created, or are they just flipping burgers and delivering pizzas?
Well, I suspect it's the last, and I have no data on that, but what I do have data on is that in May, when they, I think, yeah, it was the May numbers, I believe, when they said they added 339,000 new jobs, and there was headlines talking about how robust the underlying economy is and the jobs market and that sort of thing. But the reality was, I looked at the data, and just one measure of the weakness of the economy, the fact is that looking at the growth rate going back into the late 1940s, the growth rate of the unemployment numbers had or the unemployment, how do I say this? The growth rate of the unemployment level had risen above zero. And it had been advancing, I believe, for 25 straight months, and it finally moved above zero. And every time that has happened, that has been associated with a recession. And those numbers have been revised, and at present it's not below zero, but as of the May reporting numbers, it was below zero. I had that data downloaded. And so we're still at that threshold. It's still a warning. And I think that, you know, if we do see a recession, which I think is inevitable, then we're going, that's probably going to be the tipping point. At least it's going to be the opportunity to be the tipping point for the unwinding of this massive, massive bubble. And you can also see similar evidence when you look at the growth rate, of the actual employment numbers. The story is quite different than what we're being told. The growth rate has been declining, and on that one, I do think it's 25 straight months. So, following the COVID spike, it's not as healthy as we're being told. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I always thought it was bizarre. Governments brag in Canada, 30,000 jobs were added to the workforce, but the unemployment rate went up.
Well, exactly.
And you know, governments never used to mention this so many jobs created thing before. Is that a cover up for the true state of the employment situation?
It seems, you know, because when you report one thing and you look at the numbers and the numbers are something else, then, you know, you do the math. You know, it's not what we're being told.
And of course, again, they never tell you what that job that was created is worth. Are you a seasonal farm worker picking grapes somewhere, or are you a software company CEO? Those two different jobs pay a lot differently.
Exactly. Or a manufacturer somewhere making, you know, parts for the automotive industry or something meaningful. Exactly.
Now, when we're in a situation like this, because of that manipulation, is it a case of the White House, when we get into the year before an election, or do they start to really massage the numbers that are released so only the good numbers come out and you don't see the bad numbers, whereas you like to look at the overall picture and do some deep digging? As you said, do you want to get into the weeds? And I said, I want to get into the worms that are eating the roots of the weeds. But
look, trying to not play the politics, but it's both sides. I'm not defending one side, and I'm not, it's both sides do the same thing when it comes to these employment numbers. I've seen it with the last administration. I see it with this administration. So, you know, it's not politics, but it is politics. In other words, I don't think it's party specific politics. It's all just politics. And obviously you're not going to come out and tell the public that, you know, just how bad, how dire the economy is. And hey, we really don't have an economy. What we really have is an environment that is totally dependent on government spending to keep this thing going. They're not going to come out and tell you that. So, you know, they can't. I mean, so I get that. But, that's the reality. You know, that's why we've seen the explosion of debt. I mean, when you look at what really has happened with this sixth economic cycle, it's been on the back of the expansion of federal debt. It's not been on the back of a growing economy. Is there an economy out there? Of course. There's a remnant economy out there. Has the housing market been strong? Of course. But by and large, this has been this entire bubble has been a function of the expansion of debt. And I would argue that so has, you know, the housing bubble, the asset bubble that we've seen in other asset classes as well.
Is there any way statistically to prove gougeflation?
I can't prove it statistically, but, you know, I can prove it from just experience, you know, in limited cases of just, you know, limited experience, but, you know, my personal experiences, and we've shared some of those stories, you and I, but I think it is a new business model that is going on. You know, if, you know, obviously I think that's a practice. Can I prove it 100%? No.
Well, in Canada, the Canadian Bread Company, that's what they're called, they were just fined $50 million for price fixing. So, yeah, it's going on, Tim.
Oh, I know what's going on, but you can't, you know, I can't prove it, yeah. but I see it. And I've used my cake example. You know, it's been a long time, but I saw this back in early 21. And I'll give it as an example now because it's a good example. But there was every now and then I would go to the bakery section of the grocery store that I was frequenting, and they had a nice bakery. You could get fresh bread and that sort of thing. They had these little cakes, and I'd buy them to have with coffee in the mornings. And I'd bought a couple of them over the year. You know, I just started going there, so I say over the years, over that year, I'd bought 3, 4, 5 of them, you know, periodically. And they were $9.99. I knew how much they were. And then all of a sudden, I go to the cooler, and it's up. $13.99. So it's up 40%. That cake, flour, and sugar did not go up 40% in the twinkling of an eye. And so what I think, my theory is with this gougeflation is that there's this new business model. They say, well, hey, you know, another example, distilled water. You know, usually you could buy distilled water for, you know, 99 cents, and now it's $1.59. You say, well, it's only 59 cents. No, it's 59%. So I think that, you know, I suspect that there's a business model where they look at things and they say, hey, you know, this is, you know, used to, I worked in a grocery store when I was in college, and my boss's philosophy was he wanted to try to sell things as cheaply as possible, make a profit, of course, but to be as competitive as possible. Now, I think the business model is we want to rape them as best we can without, you know, we want to squeeze. Let me say it another way. We want to squeeze every drop out of the lemon that we can. And so it's no longer about a quality product at the best possible price. It's about let's get all we can out of the consumer while we can get it. And I think that in and of itself is, you know, it's part of the bubble environment that we're in. And I think that is also part of the, part of the reason that we're going to see this bubble implode, the greed. It's just another indication of the greed.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, what do you see happening with the U.S. dollar?
I have been saying for months, it was unpopular when I said it. I know a lot of people were bullish on the dollar because it had been going up. But last September, I believe it was, I'm not looking at the dollar chart, I started seeing evidence of the top, and so started writing in my research letter that I thought that the four-year cycle top was in. And the weakness that we've been seeing, certainly over the last few weeks, I believe that is absolutely proven correct. I was right about that. And we're moving into what should be an intermediate term low. I don't have a chart in front of me, and I don't remember the timing on that. Let's see if I can get one while we're speaking. But there is an intermediate degree low out there that I think we're pressing into. But I think the higher degree four-year cycle top is in place, and that low is not due until probably sometime maybe mid-next year. And until we get into that low, I think any advance is going to be counter-trend. So therefore, I think the direction of the dollar will continue to be down overall until we get into the next four-year cycle low.
What's going on with crude?
Crude oil, we had an intermediate degree low in May, and that advance is still intact. There was evidence that it had peaked, but we had a short-term buy signal that re-evolved into an intermediate-term buy signal, and so it revitalized, if you will, that advance out of the intermediate-term low. And I think it's counter-trend, but it's still intact. It'll remain intact till I get a sell signal. But I do think it's counter-trend.
Anything going on with gold and silver?
Yes, had a short-term low in gold back in late June, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was. And I think that may have also been an intermediate degree low. But again, kind of like crude oil, I think it's counter-trend. I don't have an intermediate-term buy signal on gold yet. We may get one very soon. Do have a short-term buy signal, and obviously that's an opportunity for it to evolve into an intermediate-term buy signal. But I tend to kind of suspect we may have the intermediate-term low, but it, again, counter-trend.
Anything happening on the commodity front with things like lithium and copper?
I don't know. I don't follow those. But as a rule, commodities have been, counter-trend bounce. And so I suspect, without looking at them, that any advance there would also be or tend to be counter-trend as well.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Well, to me, the people are just oblivious to what's this turning of this sixth economic cycle. I mean, this is a monumental deal. I wasn't even aware. I mean, we've been talking. You know, we've known that this was a bubble for years. We've talked about it. I feel like that the research in the last, certainly the research I've done in the last year or 18 months to me has been some of the best ever in figuring out and seeing this sixth economic cycle for what it is and where we really are and what's going on. But I think we face, once this thing bites, I think we face much more of a downturn than even I imagined. And it's, like I said, it's all been built on debt. And I guess it started with, the Fed trying to bridge the gap coming out of the 02 low, and it has evolved into the biggest bubble ever. And it's not over. Things have been, I think this is we remain in the eye of the storm, if you will. We've had a couple of what now, looking at it, has been minor downturns. People forget, but, the decline into the 09 low was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. But looking back at it now, the decline into the 02 low and the 09 low, those were just tremors compared to the earthquake that I think we face coming out of this sixth economic cycle. And that is all part of why I also believe, obviously, they're trying to hold this thing together to prevent that. But I think it's inevitable, and that's what we're monitoring very, very closely in the research letters, the developments as this thing sets up.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.